And so, this morning, we're going to think about the theme of Epiphany. A funny word, Epiphany. And I've been asked today to use some contraption like this to indicate when things should come up on the screen. Now, I'm going to tell you now, I don't think I shall really be using this contraption because I shall be concentrating on what I'm seeking to share with you. And so I do hope that whoever is putting the screens in order for us will do a good job. Perhaps Dave will mark him out of 10 or something and tell him at the end how well he's done. But let's see how we get on. I hope that you'll pick up through what I'm sharing with you those things we need to see on the screen. And Dave, as well as saying that he'd seen the slides, in all honesty, he'd helped quite a lot with the slides as well, if you want to call them slides, but the images that we will see on the screen. On the 5th of January, Friday, that was the day we should have been busy taking our decorations down, packing our cards up, ready to bring to church. And so maybe all those people that brought the bag loads of cards to church did that. I don't know. It doesn't mean necessarily that they've all been arriving during the week. They might have all just turned up before you happened to get to your box, David. So there, we shall see. But anyway, the 5th Friday was the last day of Christmas. And then we stepped into the period we call Epiphany. On the feast of the Epiphany, the 6th of January, yesterday. It's the time, of course, when we remember the arrival of those wise men, or magi, if you like, in Judea. Now, I know that we all think about them during our nativities, whether it's a nativity in church, or whether it's a nativity at school, or anywhere else. We seem to have the wise men turning up. In fact, if you remember, when we had the children's nativity here, just a couple of weeks ago, it was mentioned in the script that we needed to think about that, and the reference was given to the wise men turning up at the house rather than the stable, and we were told to go home and do our homework and read that passage in the Bible. Don't know how many did that, but did you go home and check to see if it really said home rather than stable? Because by that time, the Holy Family hopefully would have been in a home rather than still in the stable, because it could have been up to 2 years after Jesus was born that the wise men appeared. The reason being, of course, that once they saw the star and knew that someone very special was to be born, they then had to do all their preparation. They had to get all their special 4x4 camels ready and everything ready to get across the desert situation, and they had a very long journey to get across to the land of Judea. And so it would have taken some considerable time, maybe up to 2 years. And so the arrival of the wise men, although we remember it at Christmas, it's not a Christmas story. It's the main story of the Epiphany season. And now the screens are doing a great job so far, because we've got the bridge illustration up there, and we took that first step onto our two-span bridge, linking Christmas to Easter. And so we're now on the first stages of our journey through Epiphany, which goes on for quite a number of weeks. And then, after Epiphany, we move on to Lent. And I think, as with other churches, we do quite a lot of things maybe together as churches during the Lent period. And so that will be our second span on the bridge, taking us through to that special time, Easter. Christmas and Easter, of course, being the time when most people attend churches who do not normally attend for worship. And so we have our bigger congregations, we have our busier time in the life of the church, packed programs of activity, things happening in quite an exciting way within the congregation of churches, Christmas and Easter. And so we're on our journey now across our first span. And eventually, those wise men arrive in Judea. And they go, of course, to Jerusalem, which was then the capital of that country or that region. And I think there's someone by the name of Trump would like it to be rather important again today. But that's enough of that. And they meet with King Herod, and they meet with his advisors. And Herod sends them on the way to Bethlehem. And he does so with these words: "Go and make a careful search for the child, for Jesus. And when you find him, let me know, so that I may go and worship him." He had no intention, no desire to do that, of course. And so, as we think of this word, this strange word, Epiphany, I need to explain to you that it means revelation. That's the meaning of the words. The wise men making their way to meet with the baby Jesus. The revealing, if you like, of Christ to the Gentiles. And once they find Jesus, they bring out their gifts. Each gift contains a special message, a message concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, although perhaps we may think sometimes very strange gifts for a baby, they're very special gifts because they contain a special message about the Lord Jesus. The first of those gifts is gold. And gold speaks of the kingship of and the glorious deity of Jesus. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Son of God. And so gold was a very important part of those gifts. The second gift they gave was frankincense. Frankincense indicates the fragrance of Jesus' life. A life lived without sin. A perfect life. A life that shows us the love of God in action. And this gift reminds us that the church is called to be the fragrance of Jesus in the world. And that reminds me of that song written by Graham Kendrick, and one that Mari introduced to us at our Tuesday prayer meeting this week. And it was during Tuesday I was preparing for this service, and I found her quotation of that and our singing of that song as a confirmation of what we should be sharing together today. And so thank you, Mari, for choosing that as one of our songs for the prayer meeting. May the fragrance of Jesus fill this place. Lovely fragrance of Jesus rising from the sacrifice. of lives laid down in adoration. The words of Graham Kendrick. The third gift was myrrh. Myrrh was used in the embalming of the dead. Now that gives us more than a hint of the mission of Jesus' life and his coming to earth. And it was leading to the giving of his life for us and to us, that we may have new life through him and all he has done for us. Which reminds me again of other words from Graham Kendrick, taken from the Servant King. Come see his hands and his feet, the scars that speak of sacrifice, hands that flung stars into space, to cruel nails surrendered. This is our God, the Servant King. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the Servant King. Now the wise men, after a divine warning, return to their country by another road. Herod was now deprived of the information which would have enabled him to find Jesus. And historians tell us that at the time of Jesus' birth, Herod was an aged, failing, and jealous tyrant. He was insanely insecure, and he grew more suspicious with each year that passed. A new king of the Jews was a threat to his throne and must be eliminated immediately. And so Herod becomes the murderer of the innocents and the would-be murderer of Jesus, the Messiah. But his plan to murder Jesus was doomed to fail. Jesus was born at God's right time. We read about that in Galatians 4, verse 4. And he was also to die at God's right time. We read about that in John 7, verses 1 to 6. And so if you want a little bit of homework for today, after the service, we'll read around the verses in Galatians 4. And see what it tells you about Jesus being born at God's right time. And also read John 7 and the opening verses of that, which will also tell you about Jesus giving his life at God's right time. It was part of God's plan for his world. Now, as we've thought about those gifts this morning, and all that they meant about the Lord Jesus, we need to realize that those gifts are very special. They're very precious. They're very valuable. And at the beginning of the new year, this new year, God is wanting us to bring ourselves. He's wanting us to bring our abilities. He's wanting us to bring our spiritual gifts to him and to rededicate all that we have and all that we are to his service. Now, I know that some of you will be saying, yes, we can bring ourselves and we do have certain abilities, but spiritual gifts? No. And it's surprising how many Christians down through the years have said to me, David, I don't have a spiritual gift. Well, you do. I've had to say to them, I can't agree with you. You do have a spiritual gift somewhere. In fact, you may have more than one spiritual gift. There is no such person as a Christian without a spiritual gift. You've got something that God has entrusted to your care to be used in his service. Seek to discover it. I know you've got a little course coming up soon in the church. I think it starts this week in the life of the church, where people will be able to seek to discover their gifting. And so think about the importance of those spiritual gifts and how you may use them effectively in God's service. And please do not get into the position of a lot of people who've come up with the fact that they've got umpteen gifts of the Spirit. Because those people, as I've known them over the years, and as perhaps you've known them over the years, quite frankly, they're a pain in the neck. You don't want too many gifts, but the ones you have, use them wisely in your service for God. It's very important you do that. So bring yourself, bring your abilities, bring your spiritual gifts, bring them all to God at this first Sunday in the new year. Rededicate them to him and to his service as you seek to live for him throughout this year. And of course, you'll have a special opportunity to do that when eventually we have our covenant service. And we all hope and pray that that won't be too long, and Gareth will be back sharing and rejoicing together with us as we share in that service of rededication. And so remember, to God, you are special. Your abilities are precious. And your gifts are of great value to him. To God, you are special. To God, your abilities are precious. To God, your spiritual gifts are of great value. And please remember, he loves you so very much.